Morning. Today's daf in Nidah's Lamed Beis. We are in a moment, a couple minutes from now, starting the fourth parak of the Masechta. I just have a little bit to catch up in terms of finishing up the third parak. We are on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. We are a little bit down from the top of the Amud. We just finished the Machlokas Amoraim in terms of when would be the best time for conception. In modern medical terms, it's called ovulation, but the Gemara has a debate exactly when would be the best time. Would it be Samach LeTfilah, or would it be Samach LeNida? So the Gemara had a Machlokas, and from there we're going to continue in the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak is about a dozen lines from the top of the Amud, the first words in the line. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Rabbi Ami Kevinche, Shebazachar Ba'olam Ba'shalom Ba'olam. So the Gemara over here talks about what the benefits and the advantages are of having a male child over a female child. So, for example, the Gemara is going to have a couple of examples. But for example, when a zachar comes into the world, shalom comes into the world. Shenemar shilchu kar Moshe aretz. So the word zachar is a contraction of zekar. So based on the pasuk in Yeshayahu, so the Gemara understands that the zachar is a contraction really of the words two words zachar. And zechar, and the word kar, in the context of the pasuk Yishayahu, speaks about shalom, speaks about peace. So when this kar comes in, when this, so to say, this peacemaker comes in, so peace is going to come into the world. V'amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Amma, V'amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Debei Rabbi Ami, Ba Zachar Ba'olam Ba Kikaro Biyadom. So the Gemara gives another contraction of the word zachar. It's come from the word zekar, which means zachar, zekar, from the word kikar. Which means that certainly back in the day, so the man was the bread earner, literally bread in this context, and so therefore in this context that's the another advantage of having a male. Dechsi vayichkre lahem kira gadola nakva. I'm sorry, vayichkre lahem kira gadola. So again, from the pasuk of Malachim, you get the same idea that the word vayichre comes from the word food. Nakva eini maklum. Nakva nikia ba ad. I'm sorry, nikeva nikia ba. And as far as the nikeva is concerned, so nikeva is a contraction of the word nikia, which means that she doesn't have anything in her hands. Ad amra mizoni lo yavila. And in fact, what she has to do is she has to ask for bread from the man. Dichsiv nakvas charech alai ve'atena. Well, you see the word nakva, in the context over there, that's between Yaakov and Lavan. But anyway, but the word nakva means that it's a reference to the idea that only when they start articulating do they then get food. Okay, so a couple of advantages of having a zachar over nekeva. It's not a preference of one over the other, it's just simple realities that existed back in the time of the Gemara. Shalu tamli davis Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Mimnei ma amra Torah yoledes mivia karban. Okay, so why does the yoledes bring a karban? Okay, it's a fundamental question. We've raised this issue many times before, but here's the Gemara. The Gemara here on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis deals with the almost like Tami de Mikra. It's like the Torah. The Gemara is giving us the reasons behind the pesukim. If you think about it, the question is wonderful, meaning that when a woman gives birth, so she's going to be going to the Beis Hamikdash 41 days after a male, 81 days after a female, and she's going to be bringing a carbon, and not only a carbon, but two carbons. One is a chatos, and the other is an ola. Okay, so carbon ola, so that anyone can give. But a carbon chatos, that you give your chote. What exactly was her chet? So that's the question. And the question is amplified by the fact of not only was she not a chote, she had a baby. She just facilitated the mitzvah, peruvu. So what is she doing bringing a carbon chatos? That's the question. Amar lahem, b'shar shekaras leilad, mivi shekaras leilad, kofetzes v'nishba, shaloti zakek labala. The Gemara's response is as follows. Look, when she's going through the worst part of childbirth, so she's making the following shvuah, and the shvuah is that she's not going to be with her husband. And so, being that now she is making a shvuah and she's going to end up violating her shvuah, so the carbon that's going to be brought over said shvuah. Leficha chamar Torah tavi carbon. And that's why the Torah says bring a carbon. Okay, so the Gemara says, oh, look, that's a reason, but it's not a compelling reason, and it certainly doesn't explain it well. Maskevla Rav Yosef vaha mizida he uvecharat Italia milsa. So a couple of things says the Gemara. Number one, mizida, meaning you bring a carbon if you are a shogeg. Over here, she's not a shogeg; she's amazing. She's making the shvuah with intention. That's number one. Number two, the charata. If you want to be matir shvuah, so what do? So you go to a chacham. And you ask the chacham, Can I be removed? Can I be released from my shvuah? And the Chacham is going to say, well, do you regret it? Do you regret it from the time that you made it, et cetera, et cetera? Meaning the avenue in which you're going to get extricated from a shvuah is not going to be through a karban, but it's going to be through a tamach chacham and charata. So the karban has nothing to do with this over here. So the Gemara is really unhappy with the answer. The ode, karban shvuah.
She thinks that before she violates the ode.
Presumably, yeah.
In anticipation that she will. So was so
okay. Could be the old carbon shvuvai asuye. And on top of all that, says the Gemara, look, it's not even the right carbon. Meaning for a shvuah that's made, so you don't bring a ola and a chatas. It's a carbon ola v'yared. So all umibne ma amra Torah zecha. I'm sorry. Right. So shashvuah lele lefichach. Sorry. Carbon shvuah by asuye umibne. Okay, fine. So the Gemara, although the Gemara gives an answer, the Gemara is most unhappy with the answer that answer provided. And by the way, the Gemara does not give a substitute answer. Okay, so it could very well be just meaning, although the Gemara attempted to answer this question, just in terms of readdressing the question, it could very well be that the carbon chatzis over here is just simply a mechaper, meaning that we know that sometimes the carbon chatzis does not function as a it's a machshir. Meaning we know that sometimes the carbon chatas is not there for the purposes of providing a kapara, but sometimes it's just there for the simple purpose of being machshir. And in fact, by the way, that's the case over here. Meaning when a woman gives birth, her carbon chatas is there to provide hechshir. It allows her now to re-enter into the area of the Beis HaMikdash and eat karbanos. And so over here, it could just simply be that the question doesn't even need to be asked. Although again, the Gemara asks it, the Gemara answers it, even though the Gemara is really unsatisfied with its own answer. Next question. So again, we're looking for Tame Amikra. All right, let's see if we can have some sort of rationale, some sort of reasonable explanation in terms of the halachas in the Torah. Now again, the halachas of the Torah don't need rational explanation, meaning we happen to enjoy it because, you know, we're rational beings, but it doesn't need it. The Torah gives us a set of halachas, and that's it. It's very simple. All right. Sometimes I make it too simple, but it's very simple. But nevertheless, though, like if we could try to somehow make it more reasonable to us, so that we can understand it a little bit better. So why? Why the discrepancy between postpartum male, postpartum female? Postpartum male, she's tamea for 7 days. Postpartum female, she's tamea for 14 days. So any reason, any way we could explain that? So zachar shakol smeichem bo, so miskaretz el shiva. Nikeva shakol atzavim bo miskaretz el arbasar. So the Gemara says, well, it could very well be that when after you had a boy, so look, she's not going to be with her husband ever again, but ever again just means a week. Because really, fundamentally, they're happier that they had a boy, again, for the advantages that the Gemara described just moments earlier, in terms of Shalom Ba'olam, in terms of Kika Ba'olam. So they're happier having a boy. So, yeah, she says never again, but never again can be understood as just simply a week. But when it comes to a female, so you don't have those advantages, and the labor was really intense, so 2 weeks. That's one way to understand it. Umibnei ma amra Torah mila l'shmona. Now, as far as the mila is concerned, why is it on the eighth day? Now, again, when we ask them the questions of why. Why is it on the eighth day? It's on the eighth day because the Torah says it's on the eighth day. But, again, the Gemara is going for some sort of rational explanation so that we can understand a little bit better. Shelo yeh kulam smechem v'avi v'ima otzavim. So the Gemara says, look, because after having a boy, so of course she's tamea for 7 days. And now, what happens on day eight? Day eight, now she's going to be mutaris to her husband. We don't want a scenario, the Torah doesn't want a scenario in which everyone else is going to be happy, but the husband and wife who can't be together, so they're going to be unhappy. So therefore, the mila is postponed to the eighth day, so that everyone can be happy, both the entire world, and also the new father and mother. That's Tame Amikra. In all these cases of Tame Amikra, you understand that this is not the reason why. Meaning, I say the word why, but it's not the reason why. I'll give you a simple example. Let's say they had twins, and there was a boy and a girl. And so what happens in terms of the Tumah? So the Tumah now is 1466, like we learned earlier. So there's going to be a bris 8 days later, and husband and wife can't be together. So, in other words, it helps us understand it, but it's not the reason why. Tanya Haya Rabbi Meir Omer Mimnei Ma'amra Torah Nida L'Shiva. Why is it Nida 7 days? Again, more of this Tamei Amikra. Let's see if we can understand a little bit better. Mimnei Shiragol Ba V'Katzba. Because what happens if there wasn't a Nida? If there wasn't a Nida, so husband and wife would be together all the time. And familiarity breeds contempt. And that's what's going to happen in a marriage. And so therefore, there are 7 days placed into every month where husband and wife are prohibited to one another. Amra Torah Tehei Tamei Shiva Yamim Kedei Shei Chaviva Abala Kishas Knisas Lechupa. So the excitement that husband and wife are going to be together after 7 days of being prohibited, so it's going to be like honeymoon all over again. It's a honeymoon every month. I don't need to repeat this, but I'm going to because it's important. The Gemara continuously describes Nida as being 7 days. And while we're learning the Gemara, that's the way we operate. In other words, Nida is 7 days. Bizmanenu, nowadays we treat every woman who has a discharge as a Zav Gadola, and so therefore she has to wait before she can start counting her Shiv Nikiyam. 5 day wait before she counts Shiv Nikiyam, plus she counts her Shiv Nikiyam. So it's going to be more than 7 days. It's going to be 12 days. Right, with a little variation. But, in other words, just everyone please understand, we talk Nida being 7 days, that's Min HaTorah, that's not our practice nowadays. I know I said it before, it's really important, therefore I repeat it. Shalu Talmidav is Rabbi Dustai b'Rabbi Yanai. Mimnei ma ish mechazer al isha ve'in isha mechazer al ish. So in terms of location and finding a kala, how come it is that the man is looking after the woman, how come the woman is not looking for the man? Right, with notable exception last week's parsha, so Yitzchak didn't go looking, but he sent a shlich. Okay, so the shlich went looking. But anyway, but that's the way it works. That's the way the world works. Is that the man's looking for the woman, and why should that be? Mashallah Adam Shavlo Aveda. So the Gemara says, well, let's think of it this way: you lost something that was precious to you. So who's looking after whom? So obviously, the original owner's looking after is Aveda. So mi mechazal mi bal Aveda machzel Aveda so. So the Baal Aveda is looking for his Aveda. And so if you haven't figured out the mashal yet, so in other words, the woman is considered the Aveda of the man, Adam Arisha and Chava. So that's why the man is looking after the woman, looking for the woman. Right? Umibnei. Right. Mibnei ma'ish panav lamatavisha panel lamala. And again, the Gemara wants us to understand that there's Sodos HaTorah, secrets behind the Torah, even in something as intimate as intimacy. So Kalpa Ishem Makum Shenivra Vizem Makum Shenivra. So each one is looking towards the place where they originated from while they are intimate with one another. So the husband's looking to the earth because the earth is where he was created from. The wife is looking towards the husband because the husband's where she was created from. Umibnei Mam Ha'ish Mekabel Pius Ve'in Isha Mekabels Pius. Now, why is it that a man can be appeased really easily, and for a woman, it's not as easy? Right? I was right. Zemi makom shenivra v'zemi makom shenivra. So the Gemara says, well, again, you have to look at the building blocks, right? Everything comes from the building blocks. So when it comes to a man, so what is his building block? His building block is the earth. The earth is a soft, I understand the earth is hard, but the dirt that's created to create the man, so it's softer. In other words, so it's got a little bit of give to it, so the man's got a little bit of give to it. But when the woman, what's her building block? Her building block was a bone. Now the bone is hard and brittle, and so that makes it more difficult for her to accept pious. Now in terms of voices, so listening to a man's voice, it's really unpleasant. Listening to a woman's voice, on the other hand, it's very sweet. So what's the difference? So zemi makum shenivra v'zemi makum shenivra. And again, you got to go to the building blocks. And when it comes to a man, shenamar ki kolech arev umare na'ava. So when it comes to a man, so where is he coming from? He's coming from the earth. So you try to make the earth into a musical instrument. See how that works. It's not going to work. It's not good. Meanwhile, when it comes to bones, so we know, we saw not so long ago, right? Remember the end of Masechta Kinim, right? A most difficult Masechta. But meanwhile, in the end, they talked about how you take the bones of an animal, and you can turn it into all these musical instruments. Right? The intestines and you hollow out the bones for a flute, etc., etc. Bones make for good music, and so therefore, since the woman's coming from the bone, so therefore she is more musically inclined. Everything comes from its source. Hajalach Hamapels Chaticha. That is the end of the third parak of the Masechta. Okay, let's begin. We are now starting the fourth parak of the Masechta, in which we are going to head back to the topic of Nida. Meaning in the third parak, we took a long detour, but a good detour, regarding Leida, regarding birth. And childbirth, Tumas Leida. So that was our last 10 dapim of the Masechta. Now as we open up the fourth parak of the Masechta, we head back to the topic of Nida. And let's do just a quick refresher on a couple of things before we start the new parak. Number one, as we already pointed out, a Nida is a woman who has a discharge of blood, and it has to be uterine blood. Uterine blood exits her uterus and enters into the canal, so she is a Nida. How much blood has to go out? So mashu, and it doesn't matter, any amount. It's the discharge that is going to make her a nida. The woman, once she's a nida, is going to be tamei for 7 days. 7 days, and it's going to be irrespective of whether or not she bleeds for the remaining 7 days. Meaning, on the day that she discharged, she's a nida, and for the next 6 days after that, she's a nida. And it doesn't matter whether she bleeds or she does not bleed. So min haTorah, that means now that she will be a nida for the next 7 days, for the day that she discharged and the following 6 days, and that is and that's a given, that's a fact. Now at the end of the 7 days, if she's no longer bleeding, min haTorah, she tofels in the mikvah the night of the 8th day. She's with her husband the night of the 8th day. That is min haTorah. What does she need to discharge in order to become a nida? So she needs to discharge a red color. Back in the second parak, we spent some time talking about the various reds that will make her tamea. Nowadays, we are mitame any red color. But back at the end of the second parak, we talked about that there were four specific shades of red that a woman would be tamea. Okay, that is all but just a simple review of what makes a woman a nida. Is there an age requirement for a woman to be a nida? Now, typically, of course, developmentally, a woman becomes a nida right around puberty, right? That, in fact, that's part of the definition of puberty. But in terms of halacha's concern, if, let's say, she menstruates at an earlier age, there is no age requirement for her to become a nida. This is not a question of das and being a bas das, meaning it's just simply a reaction to her discharging blood. So if she discharges blood earlier than 12, and here there really is no age requirement. So it could be 5, it could be 3, it could be even as she is born. I know that sounds strange, but I'm setting us up for the Gemara that's coming up in just a couple minutes from now. So she is going to be a Nida. That is the basics regarding a Nida. One more short introduction to Kusim. Okay, Kusim will be a big topic of today's daf. Who are the Kusim? Melch Ashur, Sancheirev, the king of Ashur, whose name was Sancheirev. So he successfully conquered Eretz Yisrael and Bnei Yisrael, just not all of it. He went in from the north. He conquered the northern kingdom. This is after the division between the north and the south. After Shlomo HaMelech, so the next Melucha, the next Malchus after Shlomo HaMelech was Rechavam. But unfortunately, there was a schism between the Jewish people, and it was divided between the south. That was Yehuda Minyamin, that's Rechavam, the son of Shlomo, and the north, which is Yeravam, which he created his own country, so to say. And so that is the Asar Shvatim, the 10 tribes that lived towards the north. And they existed as a separate entity. It was literally, I mean, I know we've had this in America in the last, about 150 years ago, but this is literally the North and South. And so there was a schism. What happened about approximately 300 years into the Bais Rishon, into the First Temple, is that the king of Asher came in from the North and conquered the entire Northern Kingdom and sent them away. And where did he send them to? That's a wonderful question. I don't know the answer. I'm not the only one who doesn't know the answer, right? The 10 lost tribes are lost. And what did he do, Melech Asher? He replaced them with other people. People from a country called Kusa. Now, Kusa, actually, we're familiar with because Kusa is where Avram comes from. So, in other words, he took the locals of Kusa and he transplanted them to the northern kingdom of Israel. So, you have now these people who are imposed on living in Eretz Yisrael. And they're a goyim, and not only they're a goyim, but they're Ovdei Avodah Zarah. And the Navi tells us, it's found in Sefer Melachim. And the Navi tells us that while in Eretz Yisrael, so they're practicing their Avodah Zarah because that's all they know. And meanwhile, they're in Eretz Yisrael, Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael, it's a terrible match. So lions started attacking them. So then they started to realize, oh, this Avodah Zarah thing doesn't work over here. Oh, what do we have to do? We have to convert? Fine, we'll convert. And so the Kusim are now converts, but because they're being attacked by lions. Good conversion, bad conversion. Okay, wonderful, wonderful question. It's a machlokus that has existed and persisted for a very long time. There is closure on this debate, but it existed for a very long time. So already going back to Bais Rishon, the question started, was the conversion a good conversion or not? And then it just continues. These Kusim were with us for many years, centuries. They were with us for the balance of the first Beis HaMikdash. They were with us for the duration of the second Beis HaMikdash. Even during the period of the Tanaim and the Amorayim, there were Kusim. So I think they're Kusim even to this very day. They're called Shomronim, right? But nevertheless, so Bizman HaMishnah and the Bizman HaGemara, so they were still Kusim. Were they still observant of the Torah? The answer to that question is more or less. Okay, and that becomes a sticky issue, and you'll see more of that in today's daf. What about the conclusion? Was the conversion a good conversion or not? So the Gemara in Chulin tells us that at some time during the period of the Amoraim, which is historically hundreds of years after they first were introduced into Eretz Yisrael, so during the period of the Amoraim, so they were caught red-handed. They were up on Har Gerizim, and they were being over to Avodah Zarah. So at that point in time, during the period of the Amoraim, that's it. They closed the book on Kusim. The conversion was not a good conversion. Okay. But it gets a little bit confusing, admittedly, because as the Mishnah is about to discuss the Kusim, the Mishnah will treat them like bona fide converts. So again, so what we have to say, we're going to have to say in the Mishnah, is that the Mishnah is dealing with a time period, a historical time period, where they were accepted as converts. And the conversion was considered a good conversion. And only, in other words, we happen to know the end of the story, but right now the Mishnah is not at the end of the story. The Mishnah is somewhere in the middle of our tumultuous relationship with the Kusim. Okay, and in terms of why we're going to be spending some time with them, today's daf, tomorrow's daf, so it has to do with the fact that they keep the Torah, but it's a distorted version of the Torah. And Drashos Chazal, they didn't love Drashos Chazal, meaning they loved the Torah, they kept the Torah, but a distorted version of it. And so Halacha has to deal with the fact that their version of the Torah is not a bona fide version of the Torah. And as far as we're concerned, like, how do we relate to them from a halachic standpoint? That's some of the topics that are coming up. Okay, so those were two brief introductions before we started the fourth parak. Now let's begin the fourth parak. Our fourth parak begins Benos Kusim Nidos Marisosam. So the doors of Kusim are going to be Nidos from the time that they are born. Okay, so from the moment of emergence, right? Infants, female Kusim. So they're going to be considered a nida. Now, as the Gemara is going to point out, but I'll just kind of set ourselves up, same thing would be true by us as well. Meaning, you have a Jew that's born, and she starts menstruating. Again, I know it's unusual, unlikely, right? Physically, nearly impossible. But as far as the halacha is concerned, for a Jewish woman who were to menstruate at this early age, she would also be a nida. So the Gemara is going to ask the question, why are we giving any kind of unique status to that of a kusi, so stay tuned. So b'nez kusim nido marisosam v'akusim mitam mishkav tachton ke'elyon mimneshem bo'al anidos. Now as far as the men are concerned, the kusi men, so they're going to be mitam mishkav tachton just like the elyon. In terms of the details of this particular tumah, so please wait because we're going to be discussing in tomorrow's daf. So we'll hold off on the degree of tumah, but in other words, but the men are tummy. Why? Because they were there with their wives. And their wives are nidos. So if the husband is with their wife who's a nida, so that makes the husband a boal nida. Boal nida is a unique and special type of tumah. And again, tomorrow we'll talk more about the specifics of this type of tumah. And on top of that, the Mishnah also adds that, you know, whatever blood they see, so they consider themselves to be a nida. Now, what does this mean? So Rashi over here points out, I'm going to paraphrase Rashi, but you can see it inside. Rashi's very maskal vehin yoshvos. So Rashi points out that whatever discharges out of their body, they're going to consider it to be dam nida. It could be yellow blood, it could be green blood, it could be anything other than red, and they're going to consider it to be a nida. Now, we obviously don't hold that way. We have a mesora. Our mesora tells us that it has to be red that comes out of her to be tamea, not any other color. So they're being machmir on themselves. Is that bad? Mm-hmm. So Rashi says, yeah, that's bad. And I'll tell you why, says Rashi. Because consider Rashi's example. Let's say she starts, she sees yellow and she starts counting her Yemei Nida. Okay, so is she a Nida? The answer, of course, is no. But she thinks she is. So now she starts counting her Nida. And let's say on day 3 she sees the red discharge. Okay, fine. So she's thinking in her head, I'm still a Nida. And how many more days do I have? So I only have 4 more days to count after this day. And she'll only count 4 more days. Meanwhile, if she had a proper Masar and she kept a proper Masar, what would she have known? She would have known that the green discharge was nothing. It was nothing. And that, and that when does she start becoming Nida? On day 3 when she sees the red discharge. And so now she's going to be a Nida for 7 days from then, not from the one day. So obviously, by virtue of the fact that they do not discriminate between colors, so it does create a serious problem. Okay, so with that stated, the Mishnah has now given us another reason why Benos Kusim are a Nida. Okay, it's a little bit curious because we start off the Mishnah by saying Benos Kusim Nidos Me'arisosam, that they're a Nida from the time that they're born. In other words, obviously that has nothing to do with the color that they see, yellow versus red. And then the Mishnah gives us another reason why it is that they are concerned neither, because they don't discriminate between colors. Okay, so the Mishnah is actually seemingly giving us not one, but multiple reasons why. Okay, so why should that be? You could see the first Tosfos on our Perek who addresses this question. But we're going to go on. Ein chayavin aleim al bias mikdash ve'ein sorfin aleim es ha'truma. Mipnei she'tum asim safek. Now, if after you came into contact with one of these kusim, either men or women, doesn't matter. In other words, they're both going to be a source of tuma. The women, as we just described, the men, because they're both nidas. So now, let's say afterwards you go into the Beis HaMikdash. Are you going to be subject to a chiyuv karban for going into a Beis HaMikdash? No, because it's only a suffik. And what about truma? You touch truma after having touched one of these kusim. Are we going to burn the truma? And again, no. We're not going to eat the truma, but we're not going to burn it as well, because again, it falls into the category of suffik. Okay, heichidami. So now that the Mishnah has set forth the idea that a kusi is going to be anida me'ariso sehem, the Gemara's question, you already know what the Gemara's going to ask, I already foreshadowed. Heichidami deka chazen afilu didanami. Wait 1 second. If we're talking about an infant that has already had discharge in infancy, doesn't make a difference whether you're a kusi or whether you're a Jew. You are anida. V'ido lo kachazyan didu nami lo. And if there was no discharge, then you're not tmea. So this kusi, infant, girl, she's going to be anida. So would we be if we saw. And if we didn't see, we're not going to be anida. They shouldn't be as well. So Amar Rava Bereder of Achaba Ravuna Amar Sheshet Achaba Maiskinan Bistama. So the Gemara says, okay, so in explanation of our Mishnah, here's what we're saying. We are saying that if by us we don't know whether or not a baby discharged or did not discharge, so what are we going to say by us? We're going to say, of course, that she's tahara. Because again, the nature is that they're not going to discharge until they reach 12 years of age, until they reach their puberty. However, when it comes to the benos kusim, so we are now going to say that as a chumrah, we're going to say that it's possible that they discharge. They came in the ika, miyuta de chazyan chayshinan. So there is a minority of them that do discharge at such a young age, and so therefore we're going to be choshesh by them. And so we are now saying that the basis of the gzera de rabbanan is because of a miut. Now, first of all, we've gone through Baruch Hashem a lot of shas together, and so we know that whenever we talk about choshishin lemiut, so whose position is that representing? That's representing the position of a mayor. So the Gemara says, "Uman tana dechayish lemiuta, Rabbi Meir hi." So first, the Gemara reintroduces us again to the shita of Rabbi Meir, who says, "Your choshish lemiut." The Tanya's, we are now on the top of Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, kata mektana lo choltin velo miabmin. Divrei Rabbi Meir. So according to Rabbi Meir, a kata and a katana cannot do neither chalitza nor yibam. Meaning, if they're put in a scenario in which there is a yibam opportunity and they both happen to be minors, it's possible that this can occur. So therefore, Yibum is not going to be done according to Reb Meir. Why? So Amr Lola Reb Meir, Yafa Amar Shein Chotzen Ish, Ksiba Parsha Makshin Ish Al Ish. So, Chalitza, I understand. So for Chalitza, both on the male side and on the female side, the brother-in-law, the sister-in-law, they need to be adults. That's Xeris Akasov. I get it. So there's nothing to talk over there. However, Matami Miyabim. But Yibum, so Yibum, you don't have to be a Gadol to do Yibum. Now we're talking here about the woman. The woman doesn't have to be a Gadola. So Amar Lam Katan Shema Yematzei Sris Katana Shemi Tematzei Ilanis. Sorry, we're talking about both the brother-in-law and the sister-in-law. They right, they both could be minors, right? Because her late husband, right, was an adult. But in other words, but he died, and obviously he left a surviving younger brother, and the younger brother could be a Katan. So he says, I'll tell you what the problem is, says Rav Meir. The problem is that right now, because he's a Katan and she's a Katana, so we don't know if they're able to have children. Meaning he may have fertility issues, and she may have fertility issues. And so the Katan Shema Yamase Sris, it's possible that he'll be a Sris, and Katana Shema Timase Islandis. So both of them may have fertility issues, and Venimsu Pogim Be'erva Shloba Malkum Mitzvah. Now, if there's a scenario, the whole purpose of Yibum is Lahakim Shem, in order to perpetuate the name, in order to have a child. And if you have a scenario in which the Yavam and the Yavama can't produce a child, so then there's no mitzvah of Yibum. Now, if there's no mitzvah of Yibum, so now what? Now there's an Isra of Eshesach, meaning it's the Erva. meaning the erva always existed. Eishes Ach is one of the arayos. It just happens to be that the bemakom mitzvah, so the mitzvah of yibum, is going to be able to supersede that of the arayos. But if there is no mitzvah of yibum, so now we're back to the issue of arayos. So Rabbi Meir says, because of this concern, albeit it is a minute concern, but because of this concern, so therefore they cannot perform the mitzvah of yibum, and they're going to have to wait until they both get older. So, and as far as the Chachamim are concerned, look, I'm gonna premise my position based on Rove. Rove tells me that the majority of the time, a boy is going to grow up to become potent. And a girl is going to grow up to become a woman who is able to carry a baby. And so based on Rove, it's a statistical majority. So therefore, we are going to allow Yibam to be done, even at their age where we don't know yet, but probably they're both going to be fine. So what do we have over here? Basic machlokes between Rav Meir and the Chacham, and whether we're choshesh lamiyut or we're not choshesh lamiyut. And Rav Meir is obviously of the position that we're choshesh lamiyut. And so now that we reintroduce ourselves to the Shita Rav Meir, now we're going to bring it back to our discussion. We now have the Benos Kusim, and even though she's an infant, and even though it's unlikely that she discharged at such an early age, but Choshesh and Lamiyot, and so therefore she cannot be, we're going to assume that she had a discharge because of this Choshesh.
How would they ever know that the woman's potent?
Huh?
How would they ever know
that the woman's potent? The Gemara in Yevamos discusses your very question. The Gemara says that when it comes to an islandess, we're discussing right now islandess.
Yes.
So islandess, so there are simanim, there are markers, there are physical markers that will tell us whether she is an islandess or not an islandess. The Gemara actually goes through various signs.
But why does it refer to chalitza rather than yibum here?
It's both. What do you mean? It's both. Mm-hmm. Meaning if you're choshesh lamiyot, you can't do either, chalitza or yibum. If you're not choshesh lamiyut, so then you could do both. It just happens to be that by chalitza, we have a drasha. So it's not, chalitza is not a function of can they have children, can they not have children. Chalitza simply can't be done by minors because of a drasha. Okay. The Gemara continues. The Gemara says, look, even Rameir is choshesh lamiyut. The miyut has to be a real miyut. Okay? And again, I'm throwing out numbers, not because these numbers are in them themselves significant, but they just simply relate ideas. Okay, if let's say there's a 25% chance, so again, if I subscribe to Rove and I'm not worried about a miyut, so 75% is pretty good. If I'm choshesh lamiyut, 25% is something to really be concerned about. Fine. But let's say 99% chance that we're going to be okay, 1% chance it's not going to be good. You want to tell me that Rameir doesn't make any kind of discrimination between a 25% chance and a 1% chance? Again, the numbers are mine. You don't have to buy into the numbers so much. But the idea, however, is the Gemara, right? If it's just 1%, we're talking about a girl, an infant menstruating, that's really unlikely. So even if I'm Rameir and I'm Choshesh Lamiyot, but still, what are the chances? So Hanami Miyuta Deshchichahu. So the Gemara says, well, the assumption of your question is incorrect. You're assuming that this almost never happens. That's not true. The Tanya, the Gemara quotes the Bryce Amar of Yossi Maiseba, Ain Bull, it's the name of a place. Vid Bilu Kodam Le'ima, the daughter toveled in the mikvah before the mother. Now, that's shocking, but let me explain why it's so shocking. Meaning, when did mom tovel in the mikvah? So on day 14. Remember, after having a girl, the mother's Tamei Leida. Her Tumas Leida demands that she tovels in the mikvah 2 weeks later, so that she could be with her husband. Now, she's going to end up counting another 66 days in order to get to the Malos, but the first opportunity she's going to be in the mikvah is going to be 2 weeks later. Now, her daughter, if a daughter, in fact, a daughter, by the way, infant daughter, if a daughter started discharging already at the moment that she was born, so now she's going to be needed for how many days? 7 days. When is she going to tovel in the mikvah? Right, day 7 or day 8. In other words, depending on when the discharge came out. The point being over here is that here we have a story where the daughter, because she was a nida at this really young age, toveled in the mikvah before her mother. Rebbe tells a similar story in Beisharim. And Rav Yosef says it happened in his town of Pumpadisa as well. So you have now three anecdotes. Now, granted, by the way, I know for you experimenters, right? Three anecdotes does not really make for a real trend, but I guess the Gemara is simply pointing out that it's anecdotal and it's also reflective, right? I suppose. But anyway, and not only that, but if you look carefully in terms of who we cited, We went from Rabbi Yossi to Rebbe to Rabbi Yosef, so we're also covering historical periods of time, right? Mid-Tanayim, late-Tanayim, early Amoraim. Anyway, the point is that this was not just a random rare occurrence, it happens. And so therefore it's a miut, but it's not a miut she'eino matsui, it's a significant miut. Bishlama de Rav Yossi de Rebbe Mishum Truma Eretz Yisrael. Now, let's just, a detail in the story. Let's get one detail straight. So fine, so we had these infants toveling in the mikvah. Infants toveling in the mikvah. So I understand they're during the tkufa of Rav Yossi and Rebbe Yehuda Nasi. I get it. They're in Eretz Yisrael. They're still Truma, even though there's no Beis HaMikdash. There's still no Heg Trumas and Maitros. And of course, in order to eat Truma, you have to be Tahor, or in the case of the infant, Tahora. So I get it. So I understand why they need to put them in the mikvah. Ella de Rav Yosef Lamali. But as far as Rav Yosef is concerned, why, Rav Yosef, who's living in Pumbedisa, who's not holding by Trumas and Maitros. Now, hold on. Hold that line for just a moment. I'm going to come back to that. So what exactly is going on that they're toveling that infant in the mikvah? Why would they be need to tovel in the mikvah? She's a nida. Okay. So, but let it wait. In other words, so she's Tamea. Right? As we all know, we here in Chutz Aretz, and even in Eretz Yisrael nowadays, we're all Tamei. And there's nothing we can do about it. And so therefore, we just exist in our state of Tumah. So, okay, so in Pumbedisa, so she's Tamea. And so what? So the Gemara says, V'hamar shmo ein chuma chutz aretz asura ela b'misha tuma yotze migufa v'hani mila b'achila v'abenigia lo. And the Gemara says, and furthermore, right, there was a period of time where they were eating chumas chutz aretz. By the way, chumas chutz aretz, it sounds so foreign to us. It's not so foreign to us. We are mafish chala bizmanenu. Now, granted, of course, we don't eat it, right? It goes without saying. We don't eat it, but still, chala is truma. And it's in chutz aretz. Now, nowadays, we don't give it to the Kohanim. We just take off just a portion and burn it in the ovens. But the idea is that there is such a thing as Trumas Chutz Aretz and Chalas Chutz Aretz. And in terms of the allowance to eat it, there is much more leniency in terms of who can eat it. First, obviously, you have to be a Kohen, but you can be Tameh. The only ban of eating Trumas Chutz Aretz is only when you're Tameh. When it's Tumah Hayotze Megufo, it's a self-generated tumah, like zava, like nida. Now, by the way, I know we're discussing nida. And on top of that, furthermore, hani mila ba'achila vava b'negi alo. Even within the limited ban of a kohen eating chumas chutz aretz, it's only when the tumah is yotze megufo, and it's only for eating, meaning that there would be no problem for negia if a kohen who's tame, even if the tumah is yotze megufo, were to touch chumas chutz aretz, the tumah would not become Tame. So when all said and done, again, the question is, why Rav Yosef and Pumbedisa, what was his impetus that he's toveling the infant in the mikvah? It doesn't make sense. So Amar Marzutra, lo nitzucha lesucha shemen shel truma. So the Gemara says, well, you know what you're doing with the truma oil? You're rubbing it in the baby's skin. Rubbing in the baby's skin, that is considered achila. So Detanya will enter the breast, v'lo yichalus kat shemen Yisrael, she'erim l'Hashem l'rabbos l'sasach v'sashoseh. So we're not the Kohanim are not allowed to be mechalal truma, and when we say Asher Yarimu LaHashem, was that coming to include those extra words? L'Rabbis Hasasach V'Sashosa. So that's coming to include anointing the oil and drinking the oil. Now drinking the oil Shosa Lamali Kra Shti. I'm sorry, Lamali Kra Shtiya Bechlal Achila. I don't understand. Drinking and eating are one and the same. So El L'Rabbis Hasasach Kishosa. So what we're saying is as follows: is that when it comes to the consumption of truma, rubbing the truma into your skin, that is considered as if you are consuming. So absorbing oil through the skin is a form of consumption. It's achila. And so therefore, when the baby is having the oil rubbed into her skin, that is considered shoseh, which is considered achila. And so therefore, that's why this infant of 7 days old needs to go into the mikvah so that we can rub the truma into her skin. That's the answer. And the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Tehillim, speaking to the same idea that absorbing the oil into your skin is like drinking it. Tosos on the bottom, important Tosos. Tosos divrei maskil cheshemen. I'll just ask the question, and then you do the rest. If the Gemara already had a drasha that told us that absorbing oil through the skin is considered like drinking, what is the pasuk in Tehillim coming to add to the discussion? Why would we need a pasuk in Tehillim? If it's a din d'oraisa, if it's a drasha gemura, so then what's the pasuk in Tehillim doing? So see Tosfos for that discussion. It really touches on the question of this idea of sicha is kishtia. Is that a din d'oraisa? Is that a din d'rabbanan? See Tosfos for that discussion. So ihachi didanami. So the Gemara says as follows. Okay, so we have just answered a really long question. The question wasn't long, but the answer was long. Let's recap. Question: why is it that the benos kusim are going to be a nida? So the Gemara says, out of concern. What is the concern? The concern is that they discharge, and because they discharge, they're going to be a nida, and so therefore we're going to talk. We are going to assume that they are going to be they're going to be a tumas nida, even though it's unlikely. But we're choshish for the sheet of Rameir, who's choshish lemiyuta. Or better stated, the Mishnah is subscribing to Rameir Shita, who's choshish lemiyuta. Again, I'll just ask another question, Tosfos, and again, I'm going to give you a maramakom. Our Gemara, the way it just set it up, is that our Mishnah over here is subscribing to the Shita Rameir, which means then that if I don't subscribe to the Shita Rameir, so then presumably we don't follow our Mishnah? Right? Is that a correct assessment? So, and what makes that difficult is that the idea that benos kusim are mitame is an idea that's expressed throughout Shas. It's expressed here. It's expressed in the Gemara and Shabbos. And the Gemara and Shabbos, it seems like nobody's arguing that position. And so, but meanwhile, our Gemara over here seems to side it only with the sheet of Rav Meir.
But it's also presented as a stam Mishnah.
I understand, but the Gemara just laid it out for us. And we're not speculating. The Gemara is telling us that it's going like Shita's Rav Meir. So if I don't subscribe to Rav Meir, does that mean that we don't hold on the Mishnah? So that's very hard to say. In fact, it's almost impossible to say. So how do you resolve that based on the fact that the Gemara Shabbos does not seem to have this going according to Rav Meir? So the first Tosfos on our Amud addresses that question. See Tosfos for that discussion. Okay, back to our Gemara. I hachi didanami. So the Gemara says, okay, so if it's all legabi the Shita Rav Meir, and we're choshish lemiyut, so now let's ask a wonderful question, which is, so aren't we bound by the same halachas? The answer, of course, is yes. And if we subscribe to Rav Meir, we're choshish lemiyuta, so shouldn't we be concerned that our girls are going to be a nida? And the answer should be yes. But meanwhile, the Mishnah says benos kusim. So what's going on? So the Gemara's response is, look, here comes now the difference between us and the Kusim. When it comes to us, so we darshan this way, and not only do we darshan this way, meaning we are all familiar with the drasha. The drasha is that the Torah, when describing Anita, says the word Isha, but it also has the Vav, and the Vav is a Ribui. And how do we understand it? We have a Masorah. We understand the Vav meaning, and a woman meaning, not only an adult woman, but even a minor. A minor who is going to be discharging blood is going to be Anita. So we know the halacha. So if we saw a minor discharging, so we would know now that she's Anita. So we would act accordingly. But the Kusim, however, who again, as I pointed out in the introduction, so they have a distorted view of Torah. So they subscribe to the Torah, but not with the Masorah, not with the Torah Shebaal Peh. So they understand that a woman is only a nida only when she's an adult, not when she's a child. And they don't have this drasha. They don't subscribe to this drasha. And so therefore, when they have a minor, so they simply say, okay, she's discharging, but she's not a nida. And so for them, they're going to ignore it. And that's why we have to be choshesh that every time we come into contact with one of the benos kusim, so it could very well be their nida because they're not going to react to it. They're not going to respond to it as opposed to us, which we, of course, would act appropriately if, in fact, one of our infant girls were to have discharged. My isha v'isha. Okay, the Gemara says the drasha. What exactly is the drasha? So the Gemara introduces us. Okay, so the Psukim, as it introduces us to the topics of Nida, uses the Vav to introduce Isha. So it's a ribui. So the Gemara says, so what is the ribui telling us? The ribui is telling us that any girl of any age. So the Gemara says, Verminu. So the Gemara says, excuse me, when it comes to a woman When it comes to a woman who is going to be Tameya when she has beer with a man, so how old, what is the minimum age? So the Gemara says, Tamalamar V'isha. So it includes even a woman who is 3 years of age and above. Okay? The Gemara's assumption is that a woman less than 3 years is not Roy Labia. A woman over 3 years of age is Roy Labia. Okay? Obviously, it's awkward. Awkward discussion for us, Bizmanenu, to be discussing a girl that young in terms of Roy Labia, right? Over our Shabbos table, we're just, you know, I'm sure many Shabbos tables, right? How old is Rivka, right? So my kids understandably asked me, she was really three? So, yeah, the Midrashim bring down, Rashi brings it down in Chumash, yeah, she was really three. How could that be? She's really three. So I understand, in our day and age, we don't think in these terms, but back then, so the three-year-old. So Tamalamar V'isha. Here's the problem. The problem is that when we have the Vav Ribui, when it comes to Anida, we went all the way back to infancy. I mean, the moment she's born, she is capable of becoming Anida. Meanwhile, when it comes to Rai Labia and the Chama of Bia, so there she has to be 3 years of age. And we learned that out through the Ribui of Vav. So the Ribui of Vav, does it take us all the way back to infancy? Or does it go back to 3 years of age? Which one is right? So Amar Rava, Hilchas Aninu Vasmichin Rabbanan Akrai. So the Gemara, so Rava's answer is like this. No, it's not the drasha. It's Halacha Moshe Misinai. Halacha Moshe Misinai tells us to go back. The drasha is not really the source. The drasha is just Asmachta the Rabbanan. The Chachamim wanting to connect the Halacha to the Pesukim. So the Gemara says, Hai Krav, Hai Hilchasa. So the Gemara says, okay, which one's which? Meaning, we have a drasha and we have a Halacha Moshe Misinai. One going back to 3 years of age, one going back to infancy. Which one is the drasha? Which one's Halacha Moshe Misinai? Ilema bas yom echad, hilchasa bas shal shanim v'yom echad, kra stomach siv. So the Gemara says, it's hard to imagine that the Halacha Moshe Misinai goes back to infancy and the drasha goes to 3 years, because the drasha is not specific. The drasha doesn't give us the time. Ela bas gimel shanim v'yom echad hilchasa, and bas yom echad kra. So the Gemara says, okay, so here's what we're going to say. That the Halacha Moshe Misinai, as far as Tumas Bia is concerned, that's going to go back to three. That's Halacha Moshe Misinai. The Drasha Vav that goes back to infancy for the Nida, that's the Pasuk. So the Gemara says, Umiachri Hilchasa Kra Lamali. I have the Halacha Moshe Misinai. What's the purpose of the Pasuk? So Lama'ute Ish Me Odem. So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you, once we have the Halacha Moshe Misinai, so the drasha tells us the following. Let's say the man has a discharge, and the man's discharge is colored red. So the man's discharge is colored red, so he's not going to be tamei, even though he discharged, but the discharge has to have a particular color, lavan, right? And so the red that comes out is not going to be a source of tumah. Rashi on the top of the Amud, Lama'ute Ishme Odem, Ba'afagav Dekrav La Be'odem Mairi. Now Rashi notes that it's true that the pasuk has nothing to do with this in describing a man. Al karcha kivin dekra yisei rasahu ledrasha asa. But meanwhile, the pasuk is extraneous, and so therefore it must be teaching us something. Umashi yesh lecha ledrash davar akarov leinyan darash bo. And so even though the pasuk, as it's describing, is not describing a man, but still it's like the principle of im eino inyan. Well, if it's not discussing this point, it's got to be discussing a related point. And this is how we're going to understand the drasha explains Rashi. That when it comes to a woman, so a woman becomes tamea when she has odem come out of her. It has to be a red coloration. And that's not true by a man. A man who has a red coloration is not going to be tamea. Continuing back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, now, what if a infant was to become a Zava? Now again, quick refresher course. In terms of a Zava, the halacha is as follows. A woman, after her Yemei Nida, 7 days of Yemei Nida, the next 11 days are what's called Yemei Ziva. If she were to discharge blood during the Yemei Ziva, she is now a Zava. If she were to discharge on three consecutive days during the Yemei Ziva, let's say, for example, days 8, 9, and 10, she discharged blood, she's now what's called a Zava Gadola. As such, she has to now wait till she stops bleeding, count Shiva Nikiyim, bring a carbon on day 8. All we know, I know I just refreshed. But meanwhile, what is the source that even a prepubescent girl can become a zava? We have a drasha in the psukim that describe a zava. So the Torah says viisha. The viisha tells me that a girl can become a zava gedola, even though she's prepubescent. The question now is, again, what have we just established? We've already established that a infant can become a nida. An infant girl can become a nida. We've already established tumas bia by 3 years of age. We need another drasha for zava, another drasha. So the isha lamali ligmar minida. So the Gemara says tzricha diikas rachmana minida hava mina nida mishum dechichaz echad yuma by lemeis of zayin. So the Gemara says, look, I'll tell you, the drasha by nida. So it teaches us that if she sees one day, she's going to have to be consider herself a nida for all 7 days, like a nida. But when it comes to a zava, where, look, if she sees one day, she's only a shomer yom keneged yom. So you see that it's, so to say, kind of like a lighter tumah. So as a result of that, maybe the ribui only extends for a nida, but the ribui does not extend for a zava gedola. That's the havamina. Mm-hmm. So therefore, it's tzricha. So that's why I need another drasha as it relates to zava gedola to establish that an infant can not only become a nida, but can also become a zava gedola. V'lichzav rechmana b'zava v'lo ba'im v'nida. V'ani adana, dein ziva b'lo nida. So the Gemara says, okay, but why don't we do this in the reverse? Let's have a drasha establishing that a prepubescent girl can become a zava gedola. Well, once we've established that, the only way to become a zava gedola is only if there's nidas. Because without the yamei nida, there's no yamei ziva. So once the Torah has established that a katana can become a zava gedola, that by definition means that she is eligible to become a nida. And so therefore now we have an extra drasha. The Gemara says, Anachinami. The Gemara says, you are correct. Valakra lamali. So now the vav and the drasha, when it comes to a nida, why is it necessary lamuta ishmi odem? So the Gemara says it's coming to exclude a man who has a red discharge. The Gemara says, ha mi atase chadazimna. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. We've been there, done that. Meaning we already have a drasha precluding a man from having a red discharge where he's not going to be tameh. And now you're telling me that the extraneous drasha of Visha as it relates to Anida is there to tell me the same point? Now it's redundant. Chad lamute mishich vazera, v'chad lamute midam. So the Gemara says the two drashas are necessary for the following. Let's say what is coming out is actually shich vazera. It just happens to be red in color. So you could have made the argument, well, I know it's red, but it is shich vazera. So the Gemara says, no, that is not a source of tumah for the man. Let's say what comes out is actual blood, that we have another drasha to tell us that the man is not going to be tameh. Blood is only mitameh when it comes to a woman, not to a man. What happens when a man sees blood coming out of his aver? So I know I've said this numerous times before, calls the doctor. But in other words, but he's not tameh. V'chein li'in yizacharim. So the Gemara says, everything we just said is true by a female, and the same thing is going to be true by a male as well. D'tanya. Ish, ma'otam alami ish l'rabos tinak ben yom echad shumatame b'ziva. So let's say a man has a zav discharge, but when I say a man, I mean prepubescent. So he's a boy, and he has a zav discharge. Is he going to be tamei? So according to Rabbi Yehuda, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, yeah, why? Because we have a drasha. The Torah says ish, but the Torah repeats ish. So that double lashon tells us that not only a man, but even a katan as well. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch Amar, Ein Zarech Harei Omer, L'Zachar Nekevar, L'Zachar Kol Shehu, Zachar Bein, Shehu Gadol Bein Shehu Katan, Ula Nekeva Kol Shehi, and Nekeva Bein Gedola Bein Katana. So Rabbi Shmuel says, look, I agree with the conclusion, but you don't need a drasha. The Torah, when describing the Tumas Zav of a man, the Torah doesn't say Ish, the Torah does say Ish. The Torah also says Zachar. Zachar just simply means you have to be male. So, and regardless of age. And the same thing is true with Nekeva, regardless of age. So, as far as Rabbi Shmuel is concerned, the Ishish is just simply a manner of speaking. This is the idea of Dibra Torah Kalashim Bnei Adam. Both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shmuel are both in agreement that a katan who has a zav discharge is going to be tameh. It's just a question of how to darshan it. So, Amma ki marbe kra ben yom echad marbe. The Gemara says, so what do we see over here? That as far as the age of how far we're going to go back, so it could be even an infant, a day-old infant. If the male day-old infant has a zav discharge, he's going to be tameh. Uriminu, the Gemara says, but on this, going to challenge you on the following. Ish ein le'an le'ish ben teisha shanim v'yamecha me'nayin tam alamer v'ish. If a man has a seminal discharge, so he's going to be tamei. But when we say man, we are going to go back even prepubescent. But how far back are we going to go? So he has to be 9 years of age. Right? This is an idea that we keep saying and again throughout Shas and Yevamos. We spent a lot of time with this idea that a boy is considered a ben bia, somebody who's eligible and legally his bia is considered an act of bia from the age of 9, even though he is prepubescent. But nevertheless, at the age of 9, he's already considered a ben bia. So the Gemara says, and how do I know that? With the drusha of vi'ish. And the vav is taking us back to before he was a gadol, meaning during his state of katnus. Amar Rava Hilchas Aninu Vasmechin Rabbanan Akrai. Oh, I'm sorry. Before we go further with Rava's answer, let me just set up the question. What comes out now is that we're a little bit confused. The vav is coming to be marbit, it's coming to include. It certainly takes us back into his stage of being a katan. How far back? So when it comes to the zav discharge, we went to infancy. But when it comes to the shechva zera, we only went back to the age of 9. How far back does the drasha take us back? So the now, okay, good. Now the question set up. So the Rava says, it's not a drasha. It's halach l'moshe misinai. So again, same question, same answer. Hai hilchasa v'haikra. Which one's the drasha? Which one's the halach l'moshe misinai? Meaning we have two limudim. One says that azav goes back to infancy. Another says shechva zera goes back to 9 years of age. Which one is the drasha? Which one's halach l'moshe misinai? And it's much like we heard together on the Amud Aleph of today's daf. Ilem ben yom echad hilchasa uben teishan v'yom echad kra. So if the infancy is halach l'moshe misinai and the 9-year-old is a drasha, kra stamaksif. I don't understand. The pasuk doesn't discriminate. And the drasha just simply tells us to go back. How are we supposed to know that it's supposed to stop at 9? Ela ben teishan v'yom echad hilchasa. Uben yom echad kra. So, like we said in the Amud Aleph. So, if we have a drasha, so ostensibly the drasha takes us all the way back to infancy. That's the drasha of Zav. As far as Shechva Zer is concerned, 9 years of age, halacha moshe misinai. V'chim e'achir de'ochasahi kra lamali. So, the Gemara says, okay, so, for our Shechva Zer, so that's halacha moshe misinai. Which, of course, means that we don't need a pasuk. But we do have a pasuk. So, what's the pasuk coming to teach us? Lamuti isha milovin. So it's the inversion of what we learned earlier this morning. And that is that if a woman has a white discharge, that will not make her tummy. White is the color of tumah for a man, not for a woman. So, Isha malom lamali limichta bizachar malam limichta binakevos. So the Gemara says, why do I have to write it by men? Why do I also have to write it by women? Tzricha. Dikas rachmana bizachar mishum dimitama bir'ios kiviyamim. So when as it relates to a man, I needed to state clearly by man that it's a white issue and not a red issue, because when it comes to a man, he has a particular chumrah, and that is, he's metame beri'ius kebiyamim. For a man to have a zav discharge, and for him to become a zav gadol, a major zav, so he just simply needs to have a frequency of the number of times that he has a discharge. Two, three, two is for shivanakim, three is for a karban, shivanakim and a karban. So, but there, it doesn't have to be separated by days. It just simply has to be a re'iyah followed then by a re'iyah. But when it comes to a woman, so for her to be a zav gadola, she has to have three discharges on three separate days. So it's different. And we can go in the other direction as well. We have a chumrah by a woman that we don't have by a man. By a woman, she's going to become a tamea if she discharges, and even if the cause of the discharge is an ones, an external force, an external influence that had her discharge, still she's going to be tamea. But when it comes to a man, so the man, if the discharge came as a result of an external force, external influence, right? The Mishnayos in Zavin go through many different scenarios in what's considered an ones, an external force. But if an external force causes a man to have a zav discharge, he is not going to be tameh. So you see that you have a chumra by a woman, a fila ba'ones, and so therefore I would, if I only had the drasha by a woman, I would have limited only to a woman, and I wouldn't have extended to a man. So because there are particular chumras by a man, because there are particular chumras by a woman, so therefore the drasha has to be clear both by men and by women, that only a red discharge is going to be tameh by a woman, only a white discharge is going to be tameh by a man. Okay, great stopping point. Let's quickly recap. We finished the third parak today, discussing some of the drashas. Zachar Nekeva, 7 days of 7 days of Anida, 8 days of Amila, right? Beautiful Tame Kra. We opened up this morning the fourth paragraph of the Masechta, Benos Kusim. A Kusi is going to be Anida Mistama, even from birth. Although it is unlikely that she discharged blood, but Shitas Rameir is that we're Choshesh Lemiyot. Our Mishnah is going like Rameir, and so therefore Mistama, we're going to say that every Kusi is in fact going to be Tamei Anida. Why don't we say the same thing by Jewish people? We do say the same thing by Jewish people. It just happens to be that for us, the B'nai HaMasara, we know that a discharge of blood makes her Nida. And so we would act appropriately. We would tovel in the mikvah. But when it comes to the Kusim, they don't subscribe to this drasha, and so therefore they just ignore it. And so therefore it's Gzera D'Rabbanan, all B'nos Kusim are going to be Tamei. That's the short of the explanation of the Mishnah. And then for the remainder of today, we went through drushas, various drushas, to get us to our underage limits in terms of Nida, Zava Gadola, a Zav for a man, Baal Keri for a man. So we know that it applies even underage. At what point underage? And is that learned through a drusha? Is it learned through Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim? And if it's learned through Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, what do we do with the extra drusha? All that was explored in today's daf.